As we acknowledge this anniversary day today, I wanted to talk about the church. The Church of Jesus Christ. The one that he died for. More than that, that he was raised to life, to birth. And I think it is critical because you and I live in a time where everyone has an opinion. They are talking about what they think and believe about every institution that exists. And the church is not exempt. Folks have their opinions about what the church should be. But unfortunately, not every opinion is informed. In fact, I believe that you and I are living in a time where we have to be extra careful with the information in which we are receiving. What you and I both know is that we are living now in a time where unvetted information is able to make it onto the social waves, onto every communication platform. And it requires fact checking. But you and I know this. Once it's out there, it has a life of its own. And so you and I have to make sure that we are getting our truths and establishing our opinions from a sound and solid foundation that has stood the test of time, that will not be shaken just because of a changing culture. I think that becomes especially true of the church. You and I need to know what the church is, what the church is meant to be, and to be able to stand. The Apostle Paul warns that in the last days there will be folks who don't like sound doctrine. The last days there will be folks who try to trip you up and entice you. And I always have to remind us, we've been in the last days since Christ was raised up and ascended into heaven. Because what you and I are experiencing, when we read the word of God, we discover that it is not new. It just happens to be more widespread and more pervasive than ever before. Our study in 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and now in Jude reveals to us that there are people who are constantly trying to push you and me, followers of Jesus Christ, off track. They're trying to rewrite what the word of God says, trying to redefine what the grace of God looks like. And the writers of the word of God warns that you and I must be careful that we don't fall prey to their smooth talk. Amen? And you know they are smooth. He says you and I must be careful that we don't fall into their system of thinking, but that we keep our eyes fixed on God, fixed on Jesus, fixed on the author and perfecter of our faith, fixed on the one who gives us our identity, fixed on him. We must keep our eyes fixed there so that we are able to discern the wicked from the good. Amen? So it's important that you and I then go to the word of God and talk about what the church is, so that when you start to hear these conflicting ideas of the church should be this and the church should be that, you know what the church is and how the church should function and its impact. Unfortunately, the church gets a bad rap. Amen? When everything starts to fall apart, that's when people start to point at the church. Where's the church? Well, yes, there are some things that we need to do better. But you and I need to understand that we've been called to walk in fellowship with God.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
And to live lives that are holy and righteous before God. Amen?
Amen?
And to be an expression of God's love in the world. And we need to remember that this world that we live in is antagonistic toward the church. We've got to remember that. I've been struggling over the past few days, weeks, where this expression of, you know, it talks about how we ought to live such lives that we become attracted to the world. I'm like, me living for God is going to be attracted to the world? I don't think that's a realistic expectation that we talk about from the church. Yes, I need to live in such a way that my life shines before the world. But I don't know that me living for God is going to be attracted to a world that chooses to reject what God says. So you and I got to be careful that we are footed. We have a solid foundation of who we are in Christ, who God has called us to be. And so I want to spend the next few weeks talking about the church and many facets about the church. Amen?
Yeah.
I want to begin today. Let me take you to the scriptures because you say, you haven't given me the word yet. Let's go there. I want to go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, I want to go down to the fourth verse to begin reading. First Peter chapter 2. Reading from the NIV, it reads this way. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Okay, let me read it again. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
I hope you got that. Now, I'm going to charge you with committing that verse to memory. You are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Skip down to verse number 9. That was verse 4. Skip down to verse number 9. Previous verses talks about those who reject the living stone. Verse 9 says, for those who accept him, he says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Wait a minute, get ready. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Okay, I'm going to charge you to commit that one to memory too. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You need to have that solid in your heart and in your mind. When I say committed to memory, that means you're meditating on it, you're ruminating on it, you're rehearsing what it is, because it reminds you and me of who we are. and what we are about. That the church is made up of people who have been called out of the world into a unique and special relationship with God through the person of Jesus Christ. You're not a member of the church if you don't come through Jesus Christ. Because the only way to become a member of his body is to come through Christ. Amen?
Amen?
You may attend a worship service. You may attend a Bible study lesson. But unless you come through Jesus Christ, that means unless you identify with him, that he is the Son of God, who came and lived a blameless, perfect life, who surrendered himself to a death by crucifixion, so that he could die on behalf of all of mankind. Unless you acknowledge that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, and that his death is sufficient to pay for your sins, and that you accept his death in place of your own so that you might be saved, unless you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him up from the dead, you are not a member of the church. You're not a member of his body. That is a requirement. That the church is made up of people who have put their hope, their trust, their confidence in the finished work of Jesus Christ, and who understand that it is by Christ alone that we stand. Amen?
Amen.
And he says that he calls us into this relationship. So he calls us from where we were in darkness into a relationship with him so that we can be built up into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, so that we can offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God, so that we can declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. That is the church. Amen? That's the church. When you go back to chapter 1, listen to these words that Peter writes as he is addressing those who he is writing this particular letter to. He says, to God's elect. Wait a minute. If you're in Jesus, you're God's elect.
Amen.
Ooh. Nobody else might not want me, but I am God's elect.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
That's the beauty about being in the church. That's the beauty about being in Christ. When all else rejects you, the one who matters most says, I'll take you. And if he takes you, he ought to be able then to empower you. Let me tell you, he can. He can empower you to be able to stand in the face of those who reject you. Because here's what will happen. When they fade away, he's still there.
Yeah.
Amen? To God's elect, strangers in the world. Wait a minute, I'm God's elect. And that means that I'm also then supposed to be a stranger then in this world. That means that I am not to be so intimately acquainted with the ways of this world. Oh, that's foreign language. Because we feel like we need to know the ways of the world. But no, you need to spend less time finding out about the ways of this world and more time finding about the ways of the kingdom to which you belong. Because if you who are a child of God tries to operate by the principles of this world, you're going to be defeated. But if you who are a child of God begins to operate by the principles of the kingdom of God, what you will discover is that you will see a victory. Amen. Amen. Listen, you and I both know that vehicles use unleaded. Amen. And then there are some that use diesel. And then there are different grades of, you got unleaded, premium unleaded, super unleaded, you got all of that, right? But you know that in order for that vehicle then to be able to operate, that you've got to put the right type of fuel in that vehicle. Amen? When your gauge shows, you know you have that fuel gauge, when it shows that you are on E. And if you decide in your mind, all I need is some fluid to make the gauge go from E to F, I'll be all right. You're in trouble if you go get the wrong kind of fluid. Amen? If you go and take your water hose for which you have already paid, you know, you're paying for that as well. Water ain't free. It used to be free. Water ain't free. You pay for it. If you go and you say, man, gas is $4 plus these days. Let me go ahead and pull my water hose out, stick it in the tank, and let me fill it up until it starts filling over, because you know your water hose doesn't have one of those little clickers on it that go off when it's full. You fill it up and it starts to fill over. When you go and turn over the ignition, your car is going to start because there has been some residual fuel in the line. But when it starts, it ain't gonna run. Amen? It's gonna turn over, and then before you know it, it's gonna start spitting at you. And it's gonna start spitting at you because you have not put in the right type of fuel or liquid, if you will, into your gas tank for that vehicle to operate. And brothers and sisters, when you, a child of the kingdom, tries to operate by the principles of the world, you're putting the wrong fuel in your system. Oh, you may get a little something, but it will not last. And it will not sustain. And you'll be like, what happened? You're trying to operate by worldly principles. You are a kingdom citizen. And God does not change his methodology. He says, this is the way I govern my kingdom, and these are the things that get you the benefits that come from the kingdom. You must operate in the truth of the principles of his kingdom. So he says, you must be strangers in this world. You got to live like strangers to this world. Yes, I am in the world, but I am not of the world. Yes, there are certain things that I need to use of this world, but those things certainly do not control me, and I do not become Lord to them. They are servants to me. He says, you are God's elect. Then he says, you are strangers in this world. And then he says, you have been chosen. So I'm God's elect, and I'm also chosen. You've been chosen by God's foreknowledge through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. So we've got the Trinity at work in this for obedience to Jesus Christ. So you've got God the Father who is at work, who is drawing you and me, who has chosen you and me. Then you have God the Son who completed the work so that we have a door through which we can walk through. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. And then you have the Spirit of God who does the sanctifying work in your lives. So he has been deposited in you and me so that he can do his sanctifying work in us, which means that he has taken us from where we were to where he wants us to be. He is transforming us and changing us. He is washing us and making us clean. He is making us useful vessels for the kingdom of God. He is sanctifying you and me so that we are who he created us to be. Then he says he sanctified you for obedience to Jesus Christ. So you're not being sanctified so that you personally can be glorified. You're being sanctified for obedience to Jesus Christ. So the Spirit of God, we talked about this before, the Spirit of God helps you be obedient to what Christ desires of you. In fact, you cannot do it in your own strength and power. You need the Spirit of God at work in you so that you can walk in obedience to the commands of Christ. And you and I remember that when we walk in obedience, what we're actually doing is expressing love to God. Jesus says that if you love me, you will obey my commands. So then he says, I'm going to equip you so that you then are able to do what I call you to do. That, my brothers and sisters, is describing one aspect of the church. We are a group of individuals who have been called out of the world to walk in obedience to Jesus Christ. That he has called us from our individual places in life. He has united us with his son, Jesus Christ. For the church is described as the body of Christ. So he calls individuals who become then members of his body. Christ is the head of the church. So he's the head. He doesn't call any more heads. He calls different members to fit into his body so that we then can do his work. When you go back to chapter 2, the part that you were supposed to commit to memory, that I charge you to commit to memory, it begins to describe part of our functioning as church. As we become strong individuals and we link together, the body itself becomes strong. We become stronger as we walk in obedience to him and surrender ourselves fully to him. In Romans chapter 12, we are reminded that we are to have our minds renewed. The way we think has to be renewed. How? The word of God, because now in his kingdom, I begin to learn what his principles are. I begin to learn the principles of the kingdom, and anything that does not agree with what his word reveals, I must choose to put it away. It's not in agreement with what he has declared. It is no longer an acceptable part of what I declare. That's all. Even when I don't understand all of it. The part that I understand, he says, this is what you must walk in. Amen? And as I walk in that, I did become stronger and stronger. Stay with me in chapter 1 for just a moment. Because if you and I are to do the things that he has said in chapter 2, you got to stay with me in chapter 1 for just a moment. For he says, prepare your minds for action. I move to verse 13. Prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Watch this. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, Be holy because I am holy. So the church then is made up of individuals who've been called out of the world to be holy unto God. Which means that you cannot look to the world for your standards and your practices. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That means that you don't allow the world to dictate to you what's right and what's wrong, what's acceptable and what's unacceptable. Instead, you allow the Spirit of God to lead you in wisdom so that you operate in such a way that you are discerning in all that you say, in all that you do, and in all that your life represents. Why? Because you are representing the King of Kings. You are a part of the body of Christ. So then what you do and what you say then speaks to who he is and who you are. If you are to be a stranger in the world, then you can't receive the standard of the world and allow it to govern how you behave. Because in this world, I am hit with what? All types of visual images, all types of philosophies, all types of ideas that are constantly being floated my way. I'm being hit with all types of things that are challenging what the Word of God declares. And then I'm having to then sift between that and say, which one will I stand on? I'm having to deal with this issue where there is so much acceptance in the world of things that are opposed to what God says. And then, do I want to be the lone opposition? Do I want to stand out by myself against those things that are obviously against what God has declared? Well, you may not want to. I may not want to, but that's what I've been called to do. We've been called to be countercultural. Because what you and I discover is the culture keeps shifting. And it is unstable. A thing is here today, a belief is here today, and tomorrow it changes based upon the momentum received. And in our age, in our time, those thoughts and ideas are changing so fast that a person trying to keep up with them will get whiplash. Because they are moved. People are moved. The culture is moved by emotion. The culture is moved by life. The culture is moved by all of those things that are superficial but cannot stand the test of time. You and I have got to be careful that our truths are being rooted in the principles and standards of God's word. That's why who I am must be defined by what God's word says. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, don't get mad. But if God created me. Because in Psalm 139, it says that I have been fearfully and wonderfully made. That his eyes were upon me when my body was being formed. That he shaped me and made me the way that he wanted me to be. That he's describing the works that he did in the secret place. That just because when I come out and I'm in an environment that has a different experience, I don't have the freedom to redefine what God did in the womb.
Yeah. All right.
I must be who God says that I am. And I cannot go and pick from one of the many available options that the culture has created. Because the culture wants to be happy in its feelings. The culture wants to validate what it feels not realizing that there is an enemy that roams around who is seeking to confuse the works of God so that men and women stumble around in darkness and do not experience the full love of God, the full light of God's expression, because they have chosen to walk in darkness. And as a member of the church, I must make a willful decision. To stand upon what God has declared, no matter what I am feeling, no matter who in my family seeks my support, I must stand on the word of God.
Yes.
No matter how unpopular it might be. It's not a popularity contest. Amen. It's about you and I understanding who God is, what God has declared, and the fact that we will choose to walk in obedience to Him.
Amen.
It is not easy. That's why He has given you and me His Spirit. That is why He has given you and me each other. He says, because it's not easy, and because I promise that you will not be left as an orphan, I've given you my Spirit, and I've given you each other. And that is why if you claim to have placed your hope, your trust in Jesus Christ as your risen Savior, and you are not connected to a local body of believers, you are in sin. Amen. Okay, I'm standing up. Amen. Amen. Why? Because Jesus died for the church. Group of individual believers that have been called out of darkness to become His body. But He has said you need to be connected together. Hebrews 10 and 25 says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, because you are what? To spur one another on toward love and good works.
Yes.
You've been called a member of His body, and if you're not connected to a body, wait a minute, something wrong. The Adams family is what's going on.
Yeah.
Ain't got the right show where the hand, is walking across disconnected from, I don't know about you, but anytime I see a body part disconnected from a body and it's moving like that, something wrong. And if you get too close to me, I'm going to snatch it. Because you know that a member disconnected from the body ain't functioning the way it should be.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right.
And if you claim to be in Christ, but you refuse to be connected to His body, let me just go ahead and boldly say it again. You in sin. Amen. And worse yet, you're not getting the vital life that you need. You know that a disconnected body part ain't getting no blood, ain't getting no light, ain't getting no signals from the nerve system. You just damn. You might creep along for a while. But because you're not being sustained, you will not last. See, brothers and sisters, that's why you see men and women who will come and give their lives to Christ, and then you meet them a year later and you wonder what happened. It is because they did not connect to the local body, which becomes the life source of the church.
Yes.
And that's why we have two purposes when we normally talk to people. We want to know, do you know Jesus Christ? That's the first thing I want to know. I want to know, do you know Jesus? I don't want to know if you know God. Everybody know God. Everybody. God this and God that. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Do you know Jesus? Oh, preach, brother. Because He said in these last days, He is speaking to us by His Son, Jesus. And what we want to know is, do you know Jesus?
Yes.
And where do you stand on Jesus? Who is He? More than just a good prophet. Amen. More than just a healer. Amen. Oh, He is the Prince of Peace.
Yeah.
Woo! Yeah.
I want to know where you are. Do you understand that his blood has washed you clean and it makes it possible for your sins to be forgiven?
Yeah.
And so I want to know where you are with Jesus, but then I want to know, what church do you worship at? What church do you fellowship with? What church are you connected to? My. Bedside Baptist. Yeah. And the reason I want to know that, I don't want to just know where you attend. I want to know where you're connected. Then that word connected, it means that there is some commitment, some accountability, some service that you have to a place where you are connected. Because when you're connected to a place, you're reaching your wallet. And you'll take your resources, and you'll help to support, the ministry that's going on there, right? Amen.
Right.
That's right. When you connected, you give, amen. When you connected, you serve. You be looking at what needs to be done. You say, let me get in there. There's an opportunity for me to be a part of disaster relief. Sign me up.
Yes.
Because when you're connected, you want to be involved. But when you attend, you just show up and slip out the door before anybody can say, hey, what's up? Where you been? What's been going on in your life? But when you're connected, you then are receiving the vital nourishment that comes from being tied to the vine, which is Jesus Christ, and being tied to his body. Why? Because you and I have been given to each other to be a blessing to one another.
Yes.
Oh, glory. Amen. You and I have been given to each other to encourage one another. You and I have been given to each other so that the truth that is declared in the word actually has flesh and bone upon it so that you can feel it and you can touch it. Because you know what? You need somebody to look you eye to eye. You need somebody that you can see, touch, and feel sometimes when you're having the exchange. Prayer is good. Amen. Prayer is vital. Amen. But he created you and me for relationship also with one another. So he says he's given you each other for the building up of the saints so that you can stand against all this stuff that's going around that is in opposition to who he is. So that you can stand up when the enemy begins to assault you by attacking you in various areas of your life, because he does not want you to stand firm in the call that God has upon your life. But when you're connected with a body of believers and they see you being beat up on, this is what a good group of folk would do. When they see you get beat up on, you know what they're coming to cover you up.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, y'all.
Yeah.
Let me say, if we weren't that way before, let's get like that.
All right.
If you see a brother or sister being beat up on, don't just stand back and watch them. Ooh, did you see it? Ooh. Ow, I felt that one. No, you didn't. You standing over here watching. You didn't feel it. If you really want to feel it, go up there and cover up. Take a shot or two on behalf of your sister and brother, because you don't want them to be beat down by the attacks of the enemy.
Right.
If you and I go stand in the gap, then that one who is being beat up on can have a little time to recover.
Yeah.
And they can say, oh, I feel my strength coming up.
Yeah.
And they say, oh, I'm getting a second win.
Yeah.
And they can look up at you and say, all right, I think I can handle it for a little while longer. Why? Because they've been connected to the body. That's what the church is. That's what the church is. It is that collection of individuals who, in a like-minded spirit, have placed their hope, their trust in Jesus Christ. And as they work together, are receiving the power of God through his spirit so that they can then stand in the midst of life and proceed to the destination that he has identified for them. Working together. becoming expressions of God's love, demonstrating his great power over the works of the devil. Amen. 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 That, brothers and sisters, when I'm looking ahead, oh, that's what I see. A community of believers here who represent what this text says and who spreads that truth among other believers. Amen. But let me tell you where I am. There have been so many things that have been happening among Christian churches that is absolutely troubling. Amen. There are these big mega ministries that the lids or the sheets are being pulled back upon, and there are some things, inappropriate behavior that has been happening that is being exposed. And one of the great risks is that when people see that, you know what they say. See, look at them people, look at the church. And so the testimony then of the church is being marred because of this inappropriate behavior, because for whatever reason, the right things were not put in place. And my prayer is this: when these things happen, I'm praying that God then would intervene, that he would rebuild and restore what the enemy tried to destroy. I'm praying that the good works that are being done by those ministries will not be wiped away because you had a few individuals that acted inappropriately. Yes. I'm not getting caught up in the conversations about, did you see what that individual did? I read it and it breaks my heart. And it is my hope that it breaks your heart too. It is my hope that you start to weep and that you start to cry until it drives you to your knees. For God has said that my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face. God said he'll do something in the midst of it. So I'm praying that you and I, when we read about, when we hear about these things, that we become broken, that the testimony of Jesus Christ is being marred because somebody chose not to be holy. And then here's where I am. I'm thinking about those other large ministries that have influence upon many, who have many followers, and I'm taking those pastors, I'm taking that staff to the altar, and I'm just beginning to say, God, cover them. God, cover them. Protect them. And yes, God, if there's some stuff that's being done inappropriately, yes, expose it. But whatever you do, protect them. Keep them safe. Why? Because if they have their hope, their trust in Jesus Christ, we are the same body. Amen. We are the same body, and it does not make any sense for if one part of my body is suffering that I go in and attack that part of the body. That's crazy. Yes. That's cancerous. So what you and I must do then is say, wait a minute. We're the church led by the Spirit of the living God. And God, we need you to move and clean up. If there's some stuff in there that ain't right, clean it up, God. No. We don't need to be filled with envy, because that's part of what the problem is. Folks are filled with envy, and when they see something bigger fall, they say, see, I knew something wasn't right. Stop hating. Stop hating. Serve where you're supposed to be. He has taken you and put you in the body where you're supposed to be. Don't get mad about where he's put you. Be faithful with where he's put you, and don't be envious and jealous about what's going on with somebody else. Your job, my job, is to be faithful to where he has placed us in the body. And to understand that, boy, if we could all become unified and on the same page, that we can beat the devil back, and that we can then allow the righteousness of God to be thoroughly expressed in this world, so that those who are walking in sin will recognize that there is a righteousness that they are to yield to. No, you don't need to be attracted to me. You need to recognize that there is a God who lives, and he is holy, and he is righteous, and he will not condone that behavior, but instead he calls you to a place of repentance, and oh, he sent me as a priest to be able to receive you. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what you and I have been called to be as the church.
being built into a spiritual house. Amen. Being holy priesthood, a chosen nation. Amen.
That's who we are. Amen. People acceptable unto God so that we can declare his praises to the world.